Certainly good to be here with you this morning. Glad to see all those present with us here this morning. I'd like to take our lesson this morning out of Luke chapter 16, if you'd like to be turning there. We'll read several passages from this chapter today, so you might want to keep your finger there as we go along this morning. I'd like to read verses 10 through 12 as we look at a lesson this morning entitled Faithful in Little, Faithful in Much. Luke chapter 16, begin with verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous manner, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? And as we start our lesson this morning, I'd like to read to you a few things that I've read in the news recently about people who were successful, you might say, in a monetary sense, but that were not faithful in the much that they had. And the first one that I'd like to look at here is... And I said I just kind of chose these because of kind of things that were in the news. But this was a former top White House aide, a person that worked in the White House. He just recently he resigned. But he was arrested on charges that he stole merchandise from a number of retailers. He received refunds of more than $5,000 last year from stores like Target. He would buy items and then take them to his car and return to the store with the receipt. He would then select the same items he just purchased and return them for a refund. You know, it was a fraud type thing, but he was stealing. No different really than, you know, going to the bank and holding up the bank because of what he did. But this man made $161,000 a year. He was one of the highest paid people in the White House. He was tied with three other staffers at the White House of being the highest paid person that worked in the White House there. But why did this person do this? You know, he wasn't stealing because he needed food, you know, for his family or whatever. He not only had a good salary, but he had a very important position in what he was doing and so forth. And he had been entrusted a lot of stuff to him. You know, by us as the taxpayers and citizens of this country, even by the, you know, President of the United States that entrusted in him. He had had much put to his trust, but, you know, he let some folks down with that. So let's look at another example of another person. This person was a former Walmart executive. He was the vice chairman at one time of Walmart. He pleaded guilty to fraud and tax charges, admitting that he stole money, gift cards, and merchandise from the world's largest retailer. He faces a maximum of 28 years in prison. After pleading guilty, he could also be fined $1.35 million. He had embezzled money from the company and used expense vouchers to buy items. They estimated losses at $500,000 that he had stolen. But he had a base salary of just a little over $1 million. He was paid bonuses last year of over $3 million from Walmart, and he had $20 million in Walmart stock. Why was he stealing? Again, he wasn't stealing to look to feed his family. Of course, that wouldn't be right if he were doing that. But he had much in place to his trust. But, you know, he wasn't faithful in that much. And, you know, we might ask ourselves the same question, you know, and might say, well, you know, I would never do anything like that, and certainly, hopefully none of us would. But when you think about it, how many of us have ever thought to ourselves, or maybe made the statement is, you know, if I had more, I'd do more to help other people. Have you ever said that? Have you ever thought that to yourself? Well, you know, I just got just enough to get by right now, but you know, if I had more, I'd do some more to help somebody else. You know what? Chances are you wouldn't. Because if you're not helping people with what you got now, if you had more, you wouldn't help them with them, because many times the people that will help you is the people that's just barely getting by themselves. They're faithful in little, and therefore if they had the opportunity and they had much, then they would be faithful in that same, I believe. You know, you take these two very successful men in the worldly terms, financially have been very successful. You know, if we could go back some way and look at their lives, I'd say chances are they weren't faithful in little. I bet there was times when there was things that you could buy on the honor system, like just a man at the checkout counter at the restaurant, we could put in a quarter. You know what? I bet they didn't put in a quarter a lot of times. I bet they shook the vending machine when they was in high school and got them something free out of the vending machine when they didn't have to. They had money in their pocket. They may have picked up stuff all along their life. Chances are they were not faithful maybe when they weren't rich. So then when they got rich, they were still unfaithful. We want to keep these things in mind as we look at our passages today and think about these things. And think about not just these people, but think about our lives. Are we faithful with what we have? So we do what we can to help others. Not only, you know, monetarily, but other ways that we might can help those of our fellow mankind, and especially, you know, our brothers and sisters in Christ as well. So let's continue back in Luke chapter 16 as we look at this entire parable here. Let's just go back to Luke 16 and begin reading in verse 1. And we see Jesus speaking here, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused of him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their house. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and he said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80, or 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. We want to go back over and just look at this real carefully in this parable. Part of this is easily understood, and part of it is a little bit difficult to understand. So there's a man here. Jesus is teaching here in parables, as he did quite often. And there was a rich man, and he had a steward. And I guess you might say today that he was a manager. And he accused him that he had been wasting the things that this manager had been put in charge of. And he called in and he called him on. In verse 2, he said, what is this I'm hearing about you? He said, give an account. And he said, you may longer be steward. And if you had it to say in today's terms, the man just basically called him in and said, you're fired. But in addition to that, he said, to give an account of your stewardship, he also said, I want an accounting of the books. I want to see what you've been doing. Now, you're fired already, but I want to see an accounting of what you've been doing with my money and my possessions. So the steward or the manager here, he said, what can I do? For the Lord taketh away my stewardship. In other words, he's fixing to fire me, or he has. He said, I cannot dig. You know, this is saying, I can't perform physical labor. Now, it may be because he didn't know how. Or he may not feel like, he might have thought he was too good to, or whatever. For whatever reason, he said, you know, that's not a choice. You know, maybe he wasn't, you know, skilled in this area or whatever. But anyway, he's saying, he did feel like he could do the physical labor. He said, to beg, I am ashamed. And this time, there was just two choices. Basically, you either work for a living or you beg. And that was the only two choices that they were. And notice what it says in verse 4. He said, I am resolved what to do when I am put out of the stewardship, that they may receive me into their house. So maybe the guy had a lot of sharecropping property or different things like this, and this manager here was put in charge of these things. So, and a lot of these people owed his boss money. So he's trying to think of, what can I do so that when I get put out of office here or out of my job, that these people will be friends with me. That maybe they'll let me stay at their house or give me some food to eat or whatever. So this is what he does after this. He's going in there and looking at it from a shrewd point of view. Is how can I be smart about this thing and come out on top for myself? So he starts calling in the people who owes his boss money. And he called in the first one, you know, he owes 100 measures of oil, and he just said, you get about the 100, you just owe 50. He just cut his bill in half. Maybe some of these people, like I said, were sharecroppers or whatever, and they owed this money into the landowner. The same way in verse 6 with the oil, he said, the one that owed 100 measures of oil, he told, that's 50, the other one was wheat. He asked him how much he owed, it was 100, and he told him about 80. He reduced their bill. So he did this with all these people that were coming in. And from a business standpoint, maybe that looked like a good thing to do. In other words, he was making friends of these people. And notice what it says in verse 8, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. In other words, he didn't necessarily approve of what he had done, but he said what you did do was a smart thing on your part. For the children of this world and their generation are wiser than the children of light. And what he's saying here is many times people in the business world, as far as business goes, are smarter, I don't say smarter than Christians, but anyway, they do a better job of taking advantage of their opportunity sometimes than Christians do. Sometimes people in the world, they're out there, they're on top of their game. Every time an opportunity comes up, they're on top of it. And maybe us as Christians, we don't take the same opportunities as we do, maybe not in the same way to gain money, but for us to help someone else. We don't take advantage of every opportunity. Okay, and then in verse 9 is where I think it gets just a little bit confusing. And he said, I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. The mammon here being riches. That when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. And I'll be honest with you, when I've read this over many times before, but when I was studying this, I began to ask myself, exactly what does this mean? Because on the surface, it appears he said, make yourself friends of unrighteousness. That you may receive, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. Well, you know, on the surface, that doesn't sound right. God's not going to tell you to do something wrong so you can make it to heaven. So, after studying this a while, this is what I believe that this means here. He's saying here in verse 9, he said, and I say unto you, he's saying, in like manner as the manager here did before, he was smart with his opportunities. He was smart with the things that he was had the ability to do in his life. In like manner as he did, you do the same thing and do the right thing. He said, you take your life and make it count for something. You take advantage of the opportunity. And then when he says, then when you fail, that's when he's talking about when you die. He says, you may be receive you into everlasting habitation. And that's talking about heaven. So we as Christians, if we look at it like this, is that we should be like the unjust steward in that we should be shrewd with our opportunities. Not in a bad way, if he was, but we should be smart. We should be smart with every opportunity that we have to do good, to help other people, and with the opportunities that are placed before us in this lifetime. Not in the same way, but in like manner to secure the result. And as the unjust steward found a physical home, friends, and comfort, that we as Christians should work wisely to obtain a spiritual home, friends, and comfort. So hopefully that clears that up a little bit. It did for me after studying this, looking at several different commentaries on this. The next thing we'd like to do is look at a few passages along this line. How can we be wise with what we have in this life? And what other scriptures here can we look at? We're going to look at three to talk about people that about being wise with what we have in this life. Let's look over to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Matthew chapter 6. Again, verse 19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I've heard Brother Dan say, Chandler say before, he said, talking about this, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He says, where your heels will follow also. And you know where our heart is, a lot of times that's where our heels are too. We're walking in that direction. So this is the way to think about it. You know, we can't take our treasures with us, as the old saying goes, that we can put them on ahead. We can use what we have in this life wisely. Let's look at another passage in Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31. Again, as we read this passage, think in our minds here about the being like the unjust steward, us being smart with what opportunities that we have in this lifetime. How can we do that? And I think Jesus gives us some very good examples here. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, with all His holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And you know, that's the reason why every one of us are here today. We hope to hear that someday. So you know what Jesus is talking about here? He's talking about the judgment. He's talking about the final judgment when it's separated in the sheep and the goats. The good and the bad. He's going to heaven and he's going to hell here. But that's what we want to hear. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then notice carefully what he says to this group. For I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? Or when saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now this is what we, every one of us here, don't want to hear on the day of judgment. So he tells this group, he says, starting in verse 42, For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee at hungry, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto them? Then shall he answer unto them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not unto the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. You know, this is some scary passages here. Of course, you know, if someone identified herself as Jesus Christ and said they need some help, well, we'd be all over it, wouldn't we? We'd be doing whatever. But you know, we come in contact with people all the time that have needs. Some even brothers and sisters in Christ. And what do we do? Well, those are opportunities that we have. And this is very important. If Jesus lays this down here, this is what the judgment day is going to be like. Are we going to be wise with our opportunities in this life? Next, we'd like to look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. The Apostle Paul is here speaking to Timothy. Says, Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And that's what it says in verse 18. It says, rich in good works. And notice in verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Again, I think it applies to the fact is we can't take it with us, but we can send it on ahead by the things that we do, by the opportunities that we have in this lifetime. Just as that unjust steward, he was wise in what he did. It wasn't right, but he was true. He made some good decisions for the opportunities that he had, even with his back to the cross. And I believe Jesus is teaching us we need to be smart with what we do in this life as well, with our opportunities. Next, we'd like to look back in Luke chapter 16 and begin reading back in verse 10 again. We'll read through verse 15. Luke chapter 16. Verse 10. And this section pertains particularly to the faithful in little and being faithful in much. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in an unrighteous manner, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or riches. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard these things, and they derided him. And they said unto him, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Be faithful in little, be faithful in much. And I think the key thing here too is notice what it says in verse 15. It says, but God knoweth our hearts. You know, we might say we're doing something or whatever else, but God really knows our hearts. And we see this happen so many times that people have said being faithful in a little and faithful in much. We'd like to look at just a few passages here that I think demonstrate things in the Scriptures. First being in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Mark chapter 12, begin with verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. And for all they be cast in of their abundance, but she of her want be cast in all that she had, even all her living. And this is about as good an example as I can think of a person who was faithful in much. Do you not think this person also would be faithful in much? She didn't have it to give, but she gave it anyway. She was faithful in much. Let's look also at another example of a person. In Matthew chapter 19 here, who had much, but was not faithful. Matthew chapter 19, again verse 16. And behold, one came unto him, saying, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? So Jesus is telling the man what he should do here, and of course this is in the New Testament, it's in Matthew chapter 19, but this man here that asked him this was still living under the old law, because Jesus had not died upon the cross yet, and that's the reason he did not tell him to go and be baptized for the remission of his sins. He told him part of what the old law states. And the man says that he's been keeping these things from his youth up. In verse 21, Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But Jesus tells him, he said, you know, you just need one more thing. But you know, he knew what the man's problem was all along, because you'll notice, you know, he was stating part of the Ten Commandments, but he didn't use covetousness there. But you know, that was one of the man's problems, among other things. But he told him, he said, there's one thing to do, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, told us one thing you need to do. But what did the man do? Did he do it? Verse 22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He had a lot committed to him. He couldn't handle it. He couldn't be faithful in the great amount that he had in his possession. And Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld him and said unto him, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And also in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 6, tells us it's not those that are rich that's the problem, it's those that will be rich. And those that have the love of money. You know, a lot of people like to say money is the root of all evil, but that's not what the Bible says. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And they say the rich have a problem, but those that will be rich, we might not have a cent to our name, but money could be our problem in our life. Let's care for what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. The godliness of contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which by some coveted after have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Being faithful in little or faithful in much. If we're not faithful in little things, we're not going to be faithful in the big things. I remember years ago when I first started to work, there was a guy I worked for who was president of the company. He said, if you take care of the little things, the big things will take care of themselves. And I didn't understand that for a long time, but I began to after a while, because if you take care of those little problems, guess what? They won't ever become big problems. And if we live a life that's just trained to do the right thing, it won't matter if we're poor or rich. We'll still do the right thing. And also in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1, one simple verse here says, Cast thy bread upon the waters, so thou shalt find it after many days. It'll come back to us. Whether it's in this life or in the life to come, we'll be blessed for the things that we do to help other people. In conclusion, we'd like to look back in Luke chapter 16 one last time and read verses 9 and 10. Luke chapter 16, verses 9 and 10. It said, I say unto you, make for yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, you may receive into an everlasting habitation. For he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. And then what we said about verse 9, he's telling us in like manner, be wise in your opportunities in this lifetime. Just as unjust steward was wise, be wise in your opportunities as a Christian, so that when you die, you can be received into everlasting habitation. It may not be for the people that you help, because they may or may not go to heaven. But you will, we will be received by God and Jesus Christ. In verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in much. So be faithful in the little things, we'll be faithful in the big things. But also keep in mind, if we're unjust in the least, we'll be unjust in much as well. This is our lesson for this morning. If you're here today, has never been obedient to the gospel, faith, confession, repentance, baptism for the remission of sins. We have that opportunity this morning. Or those that have and have strayed away, if they need the prayers of the church for strength, if we can assist you in any way, give you that opportunity. While we stand, we'll find the next.